You can report all you want. There's no way they're allowing Michael Parsons to go anywhere. All of it, all of this is part of the negotiations. Michael Parsons, I want him to take control of this thing and say, I don't care about you two and whatever y'all got going. Get y'all butts in a room and get my money on that paper. That's what you need to be doing. So I'm hoping that's what gets done. But I guarantee Michael Parsons not going anywhere. Jerry's not that crazy. This is all what we call just negotiation stuff.
Nothing ever is an own. It's all just a negotiation, huh? Relevant.
That was 7 minutes before he got traded.
He got traded 7 minutes after that. Michael Irvin, not an insider with the Cowboys. And he also just called Jerry Jones crazy. He's not that crazy. Well, he did it. All right. He's crazy.
So he's now he's crazy.
Micah Parsons to the Packers. I saw John Ledyard, NFL draft analyst, make the point before Parsons got traded. And his point was, because it really picked up. Adam Schefter, he reported the Cowboys are willing to listen.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
I did not believe it for a second when I saw that.
And then I saw maybe Jeremy Fowler say league circles are talking about the teams that make sense. Packers, Cardinals, Ravens were the three names I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And now Parsons gets dealt to the Packers. But anyway, John Ledger, what he said was NFC teams especially should think about this really hard and really hard, like long and hard about doing this because, he clarified, in the NFC, the parity at the top of the quarterback market, it's Goff, Jordan Love, who's the next best quarterback in the NFC? Jaden Daniels. Like, it's not as good.
Not a lot of them.
At the top of the NFC, at least not thought of right now, as it is in the AFC where the top four guys are the top four guys in the sport.
Right.
So, John Ledyard's take was, NFC teams should do this because it could legitimately swing the balance of the conference by getting this one deal done. You know, you're the Packers. You're trying to get over J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. You're trying to get over
The Lions. Your own division is scary. Yeah.
It's scary, but he said, teams like the Packers, and here it is. The Packers get Micah Parsons for two firsts and a three-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle. Now the Cowboys can stop the run. Stat of the day. You ready for a stat of the day?
Yes.
Let's get you a stat of the day on Micah Parsons. There's a number of these, but Bill Barnwell had this. Bill Barnwell from ESPN. Bill Barnwell, over the last 4 years, the Cowboys are the league's best defense with Micah Parsons on the field with EPA per play. Best defense in the league.
Amazing.
1,039 plays without him. They are the second worst defense when he's not on the field.
And now he's leaving the field for every play. Yeah.
That's how big of a difference he makes for EPA per play.
Yeah.
Now, EPA per play, as we kind of know, like that. I was listening to somebody talk about the one flaw in EPA per play, and it's even a flaw, it really, really keys in on negative plays. So negative plays really sink your score, and what are sacks? Hugely negative plays, which is, again, what his job is. Anyway, are there fantasy implications here, Joe? The Cowboys now have a Bengals-caliber defense, and you should be scooping up as many Cowboys as possible?
They already, I thought, were some version of that, and now I guess they are totally that.
Yeah.
Yes, like, Prescott, especially, he's going as, like, the 11th quarterback off the board. Like, because CeeDee Lamb is not going to move much, right? He's already going as one of, like, the five top guys. You could take him over Justin Jefferson now, though, and feel pretty comfortable about it. Yeah. I actually did that in the league last week, where I took him over Jefferson. But like, if you are, I don't want one of the elite quarterbacks in fantasy. I'd like to wait a little bit. Like, go get Prescott in those middle rounds. I have an MVP bet on him for this reason. Like, he's going to be Burrow, right? Those two are going to be slugging it out the lead of the league in passing. Would be my bet.
803-0550-1888-550-2550 to join us. Get some calls in. Your thoughts on the Parsons trade? You know, we're not, well, whatever. We'll let you handle it and do what you think is right. Mike in Tonawanda leads us off. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Honestly, I don't believe Bean has it in him to make this kind of trade. I think he's content on building this team with B-minus and C-plus players, you know. But he should reconsider it because the last time he traded a first-rounder, he got Diggs, And we saw how well that did, you know, to the end, of course, whatever like that. But good things do happen. Even the big swing of Von Miller, that was working out. People figured that was working out until he got hurt. He just happened to get hurt, you know. But that was going great, too. So, I mean, I think in order to, like, get one of these elite players, either two, then one or two things happen. We got to bottom out 1 year, pick top 15 in the draft, or we got to just give up some assets to get one. You know, that means one or two ways, and that's the way it's going to happen. So, but I think he's content on, like, just paying these middling guys. Because, like you were saying earlier, okay, I mean, you can do a revisionist history and believe, all right, if he didn't give this person this money, this, that, whatever. But, I mean, that's kind of true. And he gave all the money to these middling guys, you know. And, like, and I asked a question a couple weeks ago, where's all the money? You know, because other than Josh, where's all the money tied to? Now, explain the Eagles. We went back and forth with the Eagles thing or whatever. But, like, I mean, he's basically giving it to a lot of, you know, and I'm not mean to crap all over a lot of the guys, but they're not elite players.
Well, thanks, Mike. I do think there's room here for that kind of big picture conversation about them. And that was a little bit of the theme of the offseason this year, was it not? That we thought, all right, you know what you got to do? You got to, maybe not Bean's theme, but our theme. You out there, me in here, you, Joe, more blue chip players is the goal.
Yeah, go get the whale is something I think we said a lot.
And maybe they've found one or two in the draft, or, you know, some of the signings are perfect fits, whether that's Bosa, you buy low and he hits, or if it's Michael Hoyt, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or Josh Palmer, turns into a star as he gets unlocked. The way I said it was, I want more top 100 NFL players. I want somebody the league thinks is irreplaceable. So we'll see if they found any of those. Because the NFL top 100, it's Allen, Dawkins, and Cook. And that's going to be it. And Cook getting on there is kind of new. Benford not listed. Benford is one of the top 100 players. Like, he should be, but he's not on that list. I think this is a fair point to make. And while the Bills building their roster is not fantasy football, it's just a... it's a representation to me, a comparison in fantasy. You're going to an auction draft. I said it in the first segment. You want to just get 10 players for $20 each, or 5 players for $40, and then street free agents, or the biggest whale out there. What's going to win? There are a lot of different ways to do it. And I was looking at the Packers cap versus the Bills cap. Like, how many players do they have with an AAV over $10 million? And the Packers and the Bills are kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, Dawkins, Knox, Milano, Oliver. That's your list. Not exactly the greatest list. I mean,
yeah.
Knox and Allen and Dawkins. But past that, like, Milano will be gone after this year, probably. Oliver is there.
Probably, yeah.
And for the Packers, it's not that different. The list is not that different. The same number of players near the top of their cap. It's Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rashawn Gary. Micah Parsons now, although his cap hit will probably come down.
Well, I mean, the question as to whether Bean still has that deal in him.
I think he does.
I think there will be eventually, I don't know when, a test of that. And I don't know that he really got tested on that this summer, other than if you thought he was going to go pay Milton Williams or Josh Sweat a giant sum of money. The test would be, for example, when Trey Hendrickson hits free agency in a year. And
well,
cap goes up.
That's different, though.
Why is that different?
Because Mike's talking about the guts to make a trade, not just sign a guy.
But that, even beyond that, like, sure, like, that makes it a little bit different. But when the cap goes up and the Bills will have more space and they'll do their restructures and they'll cut a guy, like, maybe they'll cut Curtis Samuel, they'll have room to do things next summer. And what are they going to want to do? Are they going to want to go pay Trey Hendrickson $40 million or $38 million a year and then go replace Matt Milano with a rookie and replace Connor McGovern with a $2 million center, or just plug in Cedric Van Pran Granger? You want to go discount bin or bargain bin shopping for linebacker and center because we're going and getting Trey Hendrickson? Or will they say, no, we don't want Trey Hendrickson because we want to sign Connor McGovern to $11 million a year, and we want to go replace Matt Milano with a $9 million linebacker, and we want to go fill in a guard with $6 million bucks? Like, what do they prefer?
Yeah.
Because, well, for me, that's an easy one. I go get Trey Hendrickson. I'll start a rookie somewhere. And that'll be an issue going into a season, but whatever. I've got Trey Hendrickson, and I'm going to plug a $2 million veteran over here that might be a little past his prime, but I'm getting Trey Hendrickson. And their actions of late have pointed more towards, now they might rather have a guy at every position, have it solidified everywhere, and pay a little bit to have that be the case. Hendrickson's the only guy, by the way, that would really test that this summer. Unless someone's going to get traded.
This is where...
Next summer.
The as you laid that all out, doesn't that sound like the conversation we've had 100 times about, would you rather pay a $30 million receiver and some guys, or have three that make 10 mm-hmm. and some guys? There are schools of thought for both. But Parsons is a $47 million AAV. And I already saw, oh man, that's too much. You can't. He's not that good. I am of the belief that he is that good.
Is that only being said because it's a $6 million gap from Garrett and Watt?
Maybe. But the point is, I kind of find it, I'm not of the school of thought of kind of what you laid out where, oh, don't pay the big guy, rather pay a bunch of middle guys. Because paying the top guy, you can just draft players and maybe find them. And, you know, like the idea of, well, maybe you'll find some value in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. And if you don't, you know what you do? You move on from them very easy. You're never going to be in cap jail moving on from your fifth rounders that didn't hit. I think there might mm-hmm. be a good plan there to have a ton of fourths and fifths and sixths, pay big guys, and then draft a million guys in the middle rounds, and whoever doesn't hit is so easy to just cut loose.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas middle-tier free agents, that gets tougher. All of a sudden, you're paying money that is dead money. Not really a specific Bills point, but I've mentioned a few times that the Niners and the Rams tend to be a little bit more of this route.
I just think we also live in this world where we feel like the Bills need to have every single starting position solidified. And that isn't always the case around the league. In fact, is it not rare that is the case? That you have a pretty good guy at pretty much every position. Like, Green Bay, they trade for Micah Parsons. I'm sure they got spots where they're going into the season like, we have no idea what this is going to look like. Whether that's a safety for them or whether that's, I mean, that could be receiver for them this year, right? They've got an injury to Jaden Reed and a rookie in Matthew Golden. First round pick. You'd like that to go well, but you don't know. I mean, they have questions around the roster. So do most teams not named the Eagles.
Right.
But to me, like, you should be willing to accept as a football team. Not that the Bills necessarily should have done this summer, because I don't know that they ever got the opportunity to go get a guy like this. But in the future, I'd rather have them be open to, yeah, two or three positions were really uncertain, but it's okay because the trade-off is we got an elite player somewhere else.
803-0550. Jump in the chat, throw a like, give us a subscribe. If you're watching, talking to you, do it. Click the like button, click subscribe. Jeremy and Joe, Josh here, G here, and for Owen as well. And we're talking about the Micah Parsons trade, how that hits you. How does it hit you? And do you relate it to the Bills? At least he's not in the AFC. That's the good news. I feel like we'd have a lot more calls today if he went to Baltimore. People would be more upset, possibly. 803-0550 on WGR.